The Revenge. Alvin was walking up the stairs with slow steps and his bag in one hand.
"What's wrong, Alvin? You look exhausted. Is the bag too heavy?"
It was Joshua's dad. He was standing at the top of the stairs laughing at Alvin. Alvin didn't know what to say. He wasn't exhausted. He just didn't want to spend time with Joshua and his dad. Joshua was in Alvin's class at school. He had started in the class when he and his dad had moved to the city. Alvin didn't like going to school after Joshua had started. Joshua always had to play tough, and Alvin was his favourite victim. He always laughed at Alvin, but the worst thing was that he got the rest of the class to laugh at Alvin too. Once Joshua had locked Alvin in a closet, Alvin had to stand in the dark closet until a teacher came and unlocked it. When Alvin came home that day crying, his mum asked him what had happened. When he told her, she was so angry that she put on her jacket straight away and went over to talk to Joshua's dad about it. But little did it help, as he invited her in for coffee, and they had been dating ever since. Alvin hated it. He used to have one enemy, Joshua, but now it was 3-1. Alvin's mum and Joshua's dad had decided that it would be a good idea for all four of them to go on a holiday together. They were going to spend a week in Joshua's granddad's summer house. It was a very big and very old house right by the water. Several years ago it had been the summer house of a very rich merchant who spent his summers there with his wife. Alvin's mum wanted Joshua and Alvin to have fun and become friends while they were at the summer house. Alvin knew that that would never happen. Alvin threw his bag on the bed. He was going to share a room with Joshua. Joshua had walked into the room first, and he had chosen the best bed for himself. The room was just below the roof of the house. It was dark, and the rain was pouring down outside.
"I chose this bed," Joshua said, "because the last time I slept in that bed, a mouse ran over my face. And I don't like mice running over my face when I'm sleeping."
He pointed at the bed Alvin was going to sleep in and rolled around in his own bed, laughing. Alvin pretended that he didn't care.
"I'm not afraid of mice," he said.
But when he talked to his mother later that day, he almost cried when he said,
"I don't want to sleep in a bed where there are mice."
His mum said that he should stop being silly. "There are no mice," she said. "It's just something he said as a joke." But it wasn't a joke. Alvin woke up in the middle of the night because something was moving across his face. He was sure that it was Joshua who was trying to scare him, so he ignored it and didn't open his eyes. But he pulled a duvet over his head and slept like that for the rest of the night, just in case. Joshua's granddad came the next day. He was very old and very grey, Alvin thought. He had two old suitcases with him, and he was going to sleep in a room with old red curtains and a bed that looked like it could collapse any minute. It was still raining, and Joshua and Alvin were sitting in the living room. Alvin was playing with an old deck of cards. He asked Joshua if he wanted to play, but he didn't want to. Joshua's granddad came into the room.
"Do you know that there are ghosts here?"
he asked, and looked from one boy to the other. He leaned over the table and lowered his voice.
"There is a girl who walks around the house at night. She's just about your age."
"What a ridiculous thing to say," Joshua said. "Have you ever seen her?"
His granddad nodded and looked at him.
"Of course I have seen her," he said. "She has always been here."
"Why is she walking around here?" Joshua asked.
"She wants revenge," his granddad said.
But Joshua just laughed.
"Revenge? Why? What happened to her?" he asked.
"She wants revenge over the people who killed her," his granddad said.
"Was she killed here, in this house?"
Alvin asked, feeling cold all over.
The old man nodded.
"She died in a horrific way," he said, adding, "She was a maid here when the merchant was alive. It was a long time ago.
Joshua's granddad sat down and cleared his throat.
The girl was mute, and the other servants always made fun of her. She couldn't speak up against them, so they just kept on teasing her and calling her names. One day, they locked her up in the basement. It was a tiny basement, no bigger than a closet, where food was kept cold. You could only get into this basement by opening a hatch in the kitchen floor and going down a small set of stairs. One night, one of the maids asked the mute girl to fetch something for her in the basement. When she went down there, the other maids shut the hatch and locked her down there.
He paused and looked at Alvin and Joshua for a long time without saying anything.
They only meant to keep her down there for a short while. It was meant as a joke, he started again. But then all of the maids were called into the living room by the lady of the house. They forgot about the mute girl in the basement, and she couldn't shout to get their attention. She probably knocked on the hatch, but no one heard her. It was late at night, and the maids went to bed.
The old man took a deep breath before continuing with his story.
The next day was a Sunday, and the maids had the day off. Some time passed before anyone remembered the mute girl in the basement. When they finally went down to let her out, they find her lying lifeless at the bottom of the stairs.
Alvin stared at the old man. He knew what it felt like to be trapped in a small space, and he could still recall how embarrassing it had been when he had to knock on the door so he could be let out of the closet.
"That's disgusting," Joshua said, and laughed again. "Can you imagine walking down the stairs and then stepping on someone who's dead?"
The maids helped each other bury the girl, and the lady of the house never asked where the girl had gone, and no one ever mentioned her name again.
Alvin glanced over at Joshua, but Joshua was just laughing.
"It's just something you're making up, Granddad," he said.
But it wasn't just something he was making up. The next night, Alvin woke up when something stroked his cheek. This time, he opened his eyes and saw a weak, bluish light in the room. He stared at it for a while, but didn't understand what it was. It was transparent, and he could see Joshua sleeping on the other side of the light. But if it wasn't Joshua playing a trick on him, then what was it? The bluish light moved slowly across the room towards the door and disappeared. Alvin followed it with his eyes. He stared at it, and as he understood what it was, he felt a sudden cold spreading all over his body. It was a ghost that had been in the room. It was an old, restless soul that was wandering around the house every night looking for someone to take revenge on. When they were all sitting around the big table in the kitchen the next morning, Alvin didn't want to say anything about the light he had seen that night. He wanted to tell the old man, but he didn't want the others to hear. He knew that they would all just laugh at him.
"Where is the basement where the girl died?"
Alvin asked the old man quietly, looking at the kitchen floor. He couldn't see a hatch anywhere.
"Oh," said the old man, "that's long gone."
"But if the basement is gone, then where is the ghost now?"
Alvin asked, even though he already knew the answer to his question. The old man took his time buttering his bread before he spoke.
"She is everywhere in the house," he said, taking a bite.
"Everywhere?"
Alvin asked. The old man nodded and looked carefully at Alvin.
"But perhaps she spends most of her time on the top floor, where the servants used to stay, and in the kitchen."
"On the top floor?" Alvin asked. "That's the floor we're sleeping on, isn't it?"
He took a deep breath.
"What does the ghost want?" Alvin had to ask.
The old man looked at him.
She wants revenge, he said, with an emphasis on the last word. And who can blame her?
Alvin didn't say anything. He just nodded and stole a glance at Joshua, who was picking at the leftovers on his plate.
I don't want to hear another word about that ghost, Joshua's dad said. It's just some nonsense Grandad is making up.
Yeah, Joshua added. It's completely dumb to believe in ghosts.
Alvin didn't say anything. He could tell from the old man's face that he felt differently about the ghost. But he didn't say any more either. Instead, he picked up the newspaper and started reading. Later, when Alvin had a moment alone with his mum, he leaned up close to her and whispered that he didn't want to sleep on the top floor anymore. He didn't want to sleep with a ghost. His mum pushed him away and told him to stop. There is no ghost, Alvin, and I don't want to hear one more word about it. It's as if you're afraid of Joshua, but he is a good boy and he won't hurt you. She looked annoyed. The weather was really nice that day, and they spent the day at the beach. Alvin had put on his swimming trunks and found himself a spot a little way away from the others. He couldn't stop staring at Joshua's trendy new trunks and at his legs, which were already tanned. Alvin had skinny, pale legs and trunks from 2 years ago. When he went to bed that night, his skin was red after having been in the sun for a long time.
You look like a lobster,
Joshua said when he saw Alvin undress. He sniffed the air.
You even smell like a lobster, he said.
Then he took his bedclothes and walked towards the door.
I don't want to sleep in the same room as you when you stink like this, he said, and left the room.
Alvin heard him walking down the stairs to find another place to sleep. Alvin didn't really mind having the room to himself. He kept thinking that Joshua would be a good victim for the ghost's revenge. That night, the blue ghost came back again. She didn't touch Alvin this time, but he woke up when she bent down over him. She looked at him for a long time. Alvin made a little jump when he opened his eyes and looked directly into her blue face. He just stared at her for a while, unable to move. She had a smell of cold and old basement about her. Suddenly, her face lit up in a big smile, and Alvin thought it made her look more human and alive. She nodded silently and tilted her head. Then she walked backwards towards the door, making a sign for Alvin to follow her. He felt like he had to do it. Something about the girl made him step out of his bed and onto the floor. The floor creaked a little, and he noticed how quiet the house had become. He walked behind her down the stairs. Halfway down the stairs, she turned around to look at him. With her finger in front of her mouth, she told him to stay quiet. She didn't want to wake up the rest of the house. Alvin thought it was oddly quiet. A weird silence filled the house, and it seemed as if the entire place was holding its breath. The only thing that could be heard was Alvin's footsteps on the stairs. The girl continued to the kitchen. It was usually the nicest place in the house, but now it looked very different from how it had just a few hours earlier. In the moonlight, Alvin could see that it was a completely different kitchen from the one he had eaten his dinner in. Everything was grey, and even though there was a big table standing in the middle of the room, it wasn't the table they usually sat at, and there were no chairs. Alvin didn't understand what was happening. In front of him, the girl turned around and signaled to him impatiently. She seemed to be asking him to hurry up, but no sound escaped her lips. He stood still and followed her with his eyes as she walked further into the kitchen. She bent down in a corner and, with a creaking sound, opened a heavy hatch in the floor. The girl signaled at Alvin again for him to come with her, but the smell of old basement made Alvin uneasy. He realized that something was wrong. That hatch and that basement weren't supposed to be there any more. The old man had told him that just this morning. The girl tried to signal to Alvin that he should come closer, but Alvin didn't move. He didn't want to go anywhere near that basement. Instead, the girl walked over to him. She grabbed him by the arm and dragged him towards the basement. He could feel how cold her fingers were. It was as if they were drilled into his arm. Quickly, Alvin pulled his arm back and jumped backwards out of the room. He was very scared. Now he knew that she had wanted him to go down to the dark hole. His sudden movement had made the girl fall over backwards, and Alvin bumped into a chair that was standing next to the stairs. The chair made a loud noise when it fell over, and the noise seemed to break the weird silence that had been hanging over the entire house. Shortly after, the light was turned on at the top of the stairs.
"What's going on?" Joshua's dad asked angrily from the top of the stairs. "Is anybody there?"
Then he saw Alvin, who was standing at the bottom of the stairs looking embarrassed.
"What are you doing down there?"
Joshua's dad wanted to know.
"Nothing,"
Alvin said, almost inaudibly. "I just wanted to..."
"You don't want anything at this time of night," Joshua's dad interrupted him. "Just get back to bed quickly, before I get angry."
Then he turned off the lights and slammed the bedroom door shut. Alvin had to walk up the stairs and find his bed in the dark. The next day at breakfast, Joshua was laughing at him.
"Ha! What were you doing in the kitchen last night?"
he wanted to know.
"Nothing,"
Alvin said.
"Ha ha!" Joshua laughed. "You were hunting ghosts, weren't you?"
He leaned over the table so his face was close to Alvin's and said,
"Just be careful that you don't turn into a ghost yourself." "Because if you do turn into a ghost," he continued, "you're going to run around this house forever with your skinny pink legs and slippers saying, ooh, ooh, and that isn't going to scare anyone."
Alvin saw that his mum was smiling, and he looked down and bit his lip. He wasn't going to let them see him cry. They were so mean to him, all of them. Instead of crying, he took a deep breath and looked at Joshua again.
"If you're so cool," he said, "why don't you come and sleep on the top floor again?"
"I can do that," Joshua said. "I just don't want to have to smell you all night long."
"You're just saying that because you're afraid to sleep up there," Alvin mocked.
"Of course I'm not afraid to sleep up there. I've slept there many times. I've even slept there alone,"
Joshua retaliated.
"Okay," Alvin said. "Prove that you're not afraid. Let's switch beds."
"Stop it, Alvin," his mum said. "Leave Joshua alone."
"I was just suggesting that we switch beds," Alvin said innocently.
"You sleep where you're sleeping now,"
Joshua's dad said. His voice sounded tough, as if he was used to having the last word.
"Chicken,"
Alvin said quietly to Joshua.
"Behave yourself,"
Joshua's dad growled. Joshua looked at his dad and Alvin's mum. He had to show them that he wasn't afraid. He didn't want them to look at him and think that he couldn't take care of himself. He looked at Alvin, who was looking at him with a weird smile. He looked very different than he used to.
"Okay," Joshua said. "I'll sleep in your bed, as long as I don't have to sleep next to you."
"Fine, we'll switch beds,"
Alvin said. They had a deal. That night, Alvin got into the other bed in the room. He watched as Joshua slowly undressed and folded his clothes up before he got into bed. Alvin was a little nervous. What if the girl didn't show up tonight? The girl did show up. During the night, the blue girl came into the room, and she wasn't transparent at all anymore. She bent over the bed Alvin had been sleeping in. Now Joshua was sleeping there, and Alvin could see how the girl stopped in the middle of her movement, as if she was surprised to find someone else lying there. Then she bent over him, and with a quiet movement, she tried to wake him up. Joshua turned over in his sleep.
"Stop it, Alvin,"
he mumbled. Alvin smiled to himself and sat up in bed.
"Joshua!" he called out. "Joshua! Someone wants to talk to you!"
Joshua woke up and mumbled, "What is it?" he asked. Joshua opened his eyes and gave a jump when he saw the blue face hovering right above his own. He was just about to make a sound when the girl placed her hand over his mouth. She wanted Joshua to follow her, just like Alvin had. Joshua got out of bed and followed her down the stairs. Alvin quietly got out of his bed, too. He wanted to see what happened. The girl took Joshua into the kitchen, walked through the room, and opened the hatch in the floor. The cold and the smell of old basement that came up from the hole made Joshua stop walking.
"Come on," Alvin whispered behind him. "Nothing is going to happen."
He gave Joshua a gentle push towards the basement.
"She just wants to show you what's down there."
Over by the basement, the girl had taken one step down the stairs. She smiled at Alvin, and he smiled back.
"Come on," he whispered into Joshua's ear again. "I was down there yesterday, and..."
He stopped talking and pretended that he was going to walk past Joshua to get to the basement first. Alvin knew that Joshua wouldn't let that happen, and with a few long steps, Joshua reached the basement. He put down his foot and found the stairs in the darkness. Alvin pretended to be following him. When he could hear that Joshua had reached the bottom of the stairs, Alvin stopped.
"It's disgusting down here," Joshua said. "What is it she wants to show me? There's nothing but darkness down here."
In that instant, Alvin jumped back up into the kitchen again. The girl was standing next to him, smiling what looked like a very evil smile. Then she reached out for the hatch, and with a thump, she let it close down over the basement. Alvin looked around the kitchen and looked at the girl again. She was turning transparent again. Little by little, she was disappearing. Finally, complete darkness fell in the kitchen. Alvin felt cold and hurried back to his bed. The next morning, the others were wondering where Joshua had gone.
"What did you do to him, Alvin?"
Joshua's dad wanted to know.
"Me?" Alvin asked. "I didn't do a thing."
"You must have," Joshua's dad said. "What other explanation could there be?"
Just because Joshua's gone, it doesn't mean that it's Alvin's fault. He could have just gone for a walk. He will probably be back soon, Alvin's mum said. But Joshua didn't come back. They waited for him for a few hours, and then Joshua's dad called the police. Later, a helicopter flew over the water to see if he had fallen in and drowned, but they didn't find him. Alvin stayed on the sofa with his comics while the others were looking for Joshua. Only once did he go to the kitchen to walk around on the cold floor with his bare feet. He couldn't see the hatch anymore. It was too late to regret what had happened. Joshua was gone.